everybody.
Hi. Are we going?
Yeah, we're going.
Nice.
We're back.
Welcome back. Thanks for subscribing, guys. We've had a really nice outpouring of folk.
Of love and joy.
Yeah, it's nice. Thank you.
It's whole nine yards, in case you weren't sure.
Right. Hello.
And idioms, etymology, fun stuff.
Yes, fun and stuff.
Yes. And today, Raymond.
Yes.
We are covering some music-oriented.
Yeah, music.
Wouldn't you call it that?
Yeah, phrases, you know, rooted in music ideas.
Or, root, like the root note.
Yeah. Yes.
I was digging there, but you know.
No, I like it. The key center.
Yeah. And we'll just go. I just feel like going today.
Go.
I just feel excited about it, and I just want to do it.
I, too, am looking forward to this one.
All right.
So what do you have?
Let me talk to you about that for a second.
Great.
I have Face the Music.
Oh, okay. Face the Music.
Yeah.
All right.
So we say it.
Yeah.
If I say, hey, Ray, face the music, bud. Well, what's that mean?
It means I have to take responsibility for something I've done, I guess is how I would assume. Something like that, when I face the music, right?
Very good, yes.
All right, nice.
I mean, that's how we use it, right?
Yeah, like you have to, now you face the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the research for this one leaves you dangling there, but in a pleasant way, and I'll get to that.
Okay. I like pleasant dangling.
Yeah. I mean, so let me first go some of the first examples that we have of it in use. These all come, nobody disputes that they all come from New England, from New Hampshire.
All right.
Say New Hampshire?
New Hampshire. I don't know. Yeah, it's the north. Yeah,
up there, that accent.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up there. If you're from New Hampshire, write in, tell us. So an early one is from the Portsmouth Journal of Literature and Politics, which is quoting some goings-on in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow says, researching these old men, as Van Buren, however, has now given assurances that he will not be a victoire. I assume that's a veto. It's a French
veto.
I couldn't find it. Mm. Victoire.
Victoire.
We are curious to see how the Tories will get over it. Come on, gentlemen, no dodging. Face the music.
Ooh.
Right?
Nice.
Now, that was 1835. So, some other examples appear, 1848, etc., 1850. We see the same thing, but no one's explaining it. They're just using it. Mm-hmm. So, here are some of the theories that come up in research.
Okay.
A very popular one, and some might go ahead and say, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. This is it. Many people did say, this is it. Put down your pencils, stop looking, close the books, this is it.
We did it.
It comes from when you screw up in the military, you are kicked out of the army, let's say.
Okay.
And there is or was, I can't imagine that there is now, but there was a tradition of sort of a disgracement, a public shaming, as it were. You were marched past your fellow soldiers by drum.
Oh.
And you were sort of drummed out of the army. It makes it like very official, like get out. And we're everyone's seeing it. You can't like come back tomorrow and say, "Oh no, it was just a thing."
It was just a, yeah.
You're out.
Huh.
You're right. Drummed out. Everybody saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people think it is that, but there is no positive proof that there's that. And I enjoy that there's no positive proof because there's one I really liked.
Okay.
So the second popular theory that comes up time and again in researching this is one form or another, this idea that actors getting on stage, nerves, butterflies, jitters, you're facing the audience, yes, but you're facing the music pit.
Yeah, the orchestra pit.
Right.
Huh, okay.
So in that sense, it's like just face the music, just do it, right? Just get on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So people enjoy that one a lot.
Yeah, I like that one.
Right? And so I stopped there and said, I'm done with my research. I've got this all.
Cool. Right.
But I went and dug one more time, and I've only found this in one spot. So I got to give credit to Phrase Finder UK for this one. I'll just read a little bit of this. This one guy's recounting from there, from that website that I stated. It seems like it was an old UK practice of West Gallery singing, it says. And this was singing literally from the West Galleries of English churches because common peasantry weren't allowed to sit in the higher status parts of the church. Seems ironic, but that's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the theory was that the nobility were obliged to listen to these vernacular songs of the parishioners, often with lyrics that were critical of the ways of the gentry.
Huh.
And that rings really gorgeously.
Yeah, I mean, it...
But the nobility, the noblemen had to face the music.
Yeah.
It was literally music and critique all in
right
one.
Right there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I really like that one.
Yeah, yeah. That yeah, okay. Yeah. That like does it. It's the literal, like you said, it's both.
But that one's only in that one spot. The others come up everywhere, and there's no one claiming they have proof of a definitive tracking and history of it.
Man. Huh.
So that's my face, the music. It's it leaves you hanging, but pick the one you like and feel good about it when you use the phrase, I guess.
All three of those feel okay.
Right?
The last one feels the most heartwarming.
Yes.
But acceptable in all manners. Huh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Getting drummed out of the army.
Right.
You go, yeah, that must be it. That sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't want to say that, but so when you get drummed out of something... Like, that's that one, too. That's a phrase.
Yeah, nobody wants to get drummed out.
No. Huh. Neat.
Yeah.
I like that one. Man, that last one's heartwarming.
I enjoyed it so much.
Neat. That's awesome.
So
face the music. The phrase that I have for this music one is, it ain't over until the fat lady sings.
Nice.
Yeah. And what would you think if we say that in the context?
Well, I mean... It usually is used in the context, right, of that there's still some hope for something. So something is going wrong for, say, a ball team or something, but there's still an inning to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I always just, if you had put a gun to my head, I would have said, well, I guess in history, some shapely woman would have always sang the end song when it was really over.
Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't sung yet. I mean, has she? So let's just keep playing ball.
Right, kind of. The definition that I pulled off of one of the definition places, one should not presume to know the outcome of an event which is still in progress.
I could have said that. That was so concise.
No, yeah, it's better to have the real definition of what you think, and that's what we're asking. And you're not wrong. There's no literal use of the phrase in that kind of context, but kind of implied... that it's based on the stereotypical size of overweight sopranos of the opera. Specifically, I have a specific sense of one anyway, in Wagner's Götterdämmerung,
nice.
Which is the fourth opera in the Ring cycle, which is four operas.
All right.
Written in 1876. There's a Valkyrie, Brunhilde.
All right, yes.
Soprano.
Yes.
And it's very parodied in Looney Tunes.
Yes. The opera
singer.
We know her well.
Exactly. You see, you know, Bugs Bunny just screwing with this opera singer for like 20 minutes in the Looney Tunes. Anyway, but yes, that kind of typical Rubenesque buxom goddess.
Yes.
She sings her farewell song where she is gathering up all of the souls she's going to take with her to Valhalla to hang out with Odin after the battle, which is cool. And then this song then leads, which is about 20 minutes long, it leads directly to the finale of the full Ring cycle. And the Ring cycle, like I said, is four operas, and they last about like 14 hours in total.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a long time.
Need some intermissions.
Right. He's Wagner. I mean, he wrote great operas. He found himself to be better than most people.
Sure.
So he wrote the libretto with lyrics and the music and everything, and choreographed, I'm not sure that. I know the music and the lyrics, which was not that common. You'd have a librettist write the lyrics while the composer wrote the music. But Wagner was like, no. No one can do it better than I can.
So just let me do it. Yeah.
And he gave us great, great operas. But yeah, in this sense, the fat lady is referring to a soprano in general. I'm giving you a specific example of how it relates with the Valkyrie Brunhilde.
Yeah.
The phrase predates these operas, but not opera in general.
Wait.
I'm giving you an example.
Okay, it predates these.
Yeah, operas. This specific opera.
Right.
But not opera as a whole. It was a common for sopranos to be larger women that sang arias.
So it's very likely it was referencing the end of an opera.
It seems that way. A first printed use that I found was 1858, which is in a short story, A House to Let, which is a collaboration work with Charles Dickens, Wilkie Collins, Elizabeth Gaskell, and Adelaide Proctor.
Wow,
the authors.
A crew there.
Yeah, it's which I also wasn't aware of. It's like a four-author story. It's, you know, like long story. It's interesting. But in this story, I don't know which author it is because it doesn't say. Just in the story, the Fat Lady of Norfolk had sung her final song, and that's 1858.
Oh.
And Wagner didn't write the Ring cycle until at least 1870 something, maybe late 60s, 1860 something. So the phrase is in the mindset of the folk before the example that I gave. That's all. But
I mean, it's just like these things gestate for a while before they become part of the...
Right. Opera was a thing that happened. The sopranos singing an aria, a beautiful aria, were things that happened already. I like that specific one.
Yeah.
Because it's a fun story. But the phrase also kind of has sister phrases that cropped up in the American South here.
Such as?
Which in the 1890s, sort of like church-based... Church ain't over until all the singing's through, kind of vibes.
All right.
You know, it's the same, similar sentence.
Similar idea.
Yeah. This is later than the...
But
the,
that one we don't use, really.
No, but it's a, you know, a fun sister phrase. Some postulation of folks that are, you know, kind of incorrect are that it relates to sports. Because I think Yogi Berra said it ain't over till it's over.
That might be what was in the back of my head.
That's a phrase that he gets credited with for sure.
It wasn't a lot of work to come up with.
No, right. It ain't over till it's over.
When it's over.
We got to go till it's over.
Yeah.
So it has like a sports ring to folks, and even still, it has a sports kind of connotation just around the idea beyond Yogi Berra, because. I guess 1969-ish, the Philadelphia Flyers, the hockey team, they played a recording of Kate Smith singing God Bless America.
All right.
And they actually still do this to this day at their home games. They play the video of her singing at the game. She came to a game and sang it live once, which is a huge tradition for the Flyers games. But she was, a larger woman, great singer.
So they played it at the end or the beginning?
No, I don't. They play it. During an intermission, I don't know. That, someone's got to write in and tell me because I'm not sure.
I think that's Google.
The beginning, it is for sure. I just didn't write that down. The beginning, probably, I'm going to say that, like before the game starts. But
right.
Someone tell me because I'd like to know and I don't want to look it up because I'm lazy. another sports reference, 1976, U.S. sports presenter Ralph Carpenter, in a broadcast reported in the Dallas Morning News, agreeing with someone about how close a game is, he says, quote, right, the opera ain't over until the fat lady sings. So directly referencing the kind of sense of what it is.
Yeah.
And that kind of wraps us back to the beginning of it. It started, you know, in the idea of these sopranos and the operas singing their songs and closing the operas out. Kind of a literal sense of, yeah, it's not over until she sings.
So opera, yeah, really.
Opera.
Boom.
Yeah.
So we have not heard a fat lady sing, so don't go away. We're going to run some ads. You're going to love these ads, and then we'll be right back.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
Yay.
Welcome back.
It is us. So, continuing on with this music thing is what we're going to do now.
Do it.
I know. And the one I have up here is Swan Song.
Okay.
When I say Swan Song, how do you use that? What is that for you?
That's the last good thing you do, right? Is that one? Where it's like, this is the last good thing I've done, or this is the, right?
Yeah,
basically. You tell me.
I mean, it's now used figuratively as commonly, you know, an artist goes and does a final tour or makes a final painting or writes a final song.
Yeah.
And that's their swan song. It's not necessarily that it has to be a song. It could be anything.
But yeah, the last.
And then at the end of your career, right?
Okay.
Or before you...
Gotcha.
Right?
Right. That's concise. Sure.
Yeah. That's how it does it.
I got you.
So this one is odd, but makes sense in the end. A little bit of history... Probably a lot of history, but I'll make it concise and enjoyable. Greeks, way back, would think of it like the swans were mostly mute, but they were beautiful and large, so they gave up the ability to sing to the smaller songbirds. But
how noble.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But this is really, really old. There's an old myth that a swan sings a pretty song right before it dies and doesn't sing during its life. Way back, Pliny the Elder style, way back.
Nice.
We're
the
talking
Pliny.
Long ways, right?
All
like
right.
The first century.
Yeah.
Pliny says, observation shows that the story that the dying swan sings is false.
Pliny.
So this was way back, but... It's such a beautiful, melancholy mm-hmm. preciously sad idea
yeah.
that it would not die even though it was proven false over and over. So Chaucer, mm-hmm. Da Vinci, and Shakespeare on a number of occasions come up in this, using this idea or enjoying the metaphor and implying it into their story, that this song happens before death and you know, the pain and the beauty and all of that business, right?
Yeah.
So there are a million examples, and I'll just give you the one, like from Othello, the dying Amelia says, "I will play the swan and die in music." So
nice. Yeah.
They loved this because of, like I said, it was such a beautiful idea.
Mm-hmm.
But truth is, even there's a swan called a mute swan, but the swans, that swan isn't mute. They make sounds.
In general,
so they make sounds.
Swans are not mute.
They're not, no.
Gotcha.
But
I was going to ask earlier, but I'm glad you followed up.
You heard about the mute swan?
No, I don't. I was going to say, because you mentioned in the context that swans were mute, and I'm like, wait, is that true? That's all.
Oh.
That's all I was going to say.
Because I had never heard of the muted swan.
I also did swan. Not know that, which is why I took it. I didn't take it with a grain of salt.
Huh.
I just took it as the truth.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So realistically, though, the truth of it all seems to be that the whooper swan and all swans,
mm-hmm.
But the whooper swan has a sort of a bugling call. And there is biologically in the swans this tracheal loop in their sternum.
Okay.
And the sad truth of it is that for whatever reason, I guess, you know, people go and shoot them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they're flying or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Their lungs then collapse mm-hmm. and push through this tracheal loop, and it creates some long notes
mm-hmm.
with the dying breaths
yeah.
as they descend or die.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because of their biology, that would have always been.
Mm-hmm.
And so pre-Pliny, a dying swan sounded like a dying swan,
mm-hmm.
and they only made that sound upon death. No one came right out and said this,
yeah.
But it seems to me that would explain it.
Yeah.
But the poetry of the rest of it still lives today, but is untrue.
Yeah, huh. So the anatomy, but the poetry is more, it's nicer to think about that way.
It is nicer to think about.
It's a beautiful melancholy instead of a depressing melancholy.
Right, and yeah. We like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice thing.
I had it in German, I didn't say Schwanenlied. Schwanenlied.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's the swan song.
I tried Götterdämmerung in my German.
Yeah, and I applauded that.
Nice. I like the Schwanenlied.
Yeah. So that's it. What do you have?
Swan song. I have some listener mail.
Oh, I love listener mail.
Yeah, and we both appreciate listener mail. Everyone, probably.
Yeah.
Thank you for writing in always, everybody. We appreciate it. This one is from, I'll just read it.
All right.
Hi, Jay and Ray. Big fan from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm going to say it's Frank in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Frank.
Secret shame of mine to confess, until a few years ago, I never gave much thought to the phrase whole kit and caboodle. Since I was a kid, I've thought of it as kitten caboodle,
yeah.
As in a baby cat named Caboodle.
Meow and all that.
Never really understood why someone would want a kitten with a funny name to describe an entirety of something. You live, you learn. And he says Baba Booey, but he really
That's
means-
a wrong show,
yeah,
Frank.
Yeah, yeah, no, Frank. We're I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's that? No. But yeah. So thanks. Kitten caboodle.
Did kitten come up during that one?
No.
Or did you
know, I
have that in your history of thinking that's what it was? Like that's
no
nothing like that?
I know that I feel like we focused on the caboodle part of that episode.
We did.
And we left the kit part out.
Yeah, because it ended up the the kit was superfluous in a lot of ways in the end.
Well, Frank went on to say something about kit being an English term meaning like stuff, your bag of stuff. I don't know if it relates, but I'm just offering up more listener mail.
That sounds like it would relate.
It does seem like it would relate.
Because the boodle was the booty.
Boodle.
The collection of things.
Yes.
So, yeah, and kit. Then people just like to say it because there was kit and biddle.
Right.
As I remember, that was a popular thing, right? How about my remembering?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Got to be honest. But thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Frank from Lancaster. All right, that's it then, huh?
Yeah, that wraps up what we have today.
You have survived another episode.
We made it.
Thanks for that.
The fat lady has sung.
Woo! What happened? If you want to write us in like Frank,
yeah,
please do. That is heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Or visit us at whole9yards.org, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yes.
And send us thoughts, comments, suggestions, relative criticisms, and we'll take them into consideration.
Thanks for subscribing and listening and sharing in our times and fun and joy.
Just what Ray says. I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.